Oh, it is a glorious Easter morning. We even got the sunshine. We weren't guaranteed that, but it showed up. I tried wearing the suit coat. It didn't work so good. But this morning we do have just a wonderful, wonderful time here worshiping God. And song, reading of the Word, praying for one another. This is what the body of Christ is supposed to be like. When I look out here, you know what I see? I see the rainbow. I mean, we don't have just all one people group here anymore. This is the way it's supposed to be. This is the way heaven is. I'm just so glad. It just moved my heart. Okay, let's turn to our scripture. We're in Matthew this morning. We're going to be reading from chapter 27, verse 57, right on through verse 15 of chapter 28. Follow along with me in your own Bibles or up on the screen. As evening approached, there came a rich man from Arimathea, named Joseph, who had himself become a disciple of Jesus. Going to Pilate, he asked for Jesus' body, and Pilate ordered that it be given to him. Joseph took the body, wrapped it in a linen cloth, and placed it in his own new tomb that he had just cut out of the rock. He rolled a big stone in front of the entrance to the tomb and went away. Mary Magdalene and the other Mary were sitting there opposite the tomb. The next day, the one after preparation day, the chief priests and Pharisees went to Pilate. "Sir," they said, "we remember that while he was still alive, that deceiver said, 'After 3 days, I will rise again.' So give the order for the tomb to be made secure until the third day. Otherwise, his disciples may come and steal the body and tell the people that he has been raised from the dead. This last deception would be worse than the first." "Take a guard," Pilate answered. "Go make the tomb as secure as you know how." So they went and made the tomb secure by putting a seal on the stone and posting the guard. After the Sabbath, at dawn on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. There was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven and, going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothes were white as snow. The guards were so afraid of him that they shook and became like dead men. The angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He's not here. He has risen, just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples, 'He has risen from the dead and is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him again. Now I have told you.' So the women hurried away from the tomb, afraid yet filled with joy, and ran to tell his disciples. Suddenly, Jesus met them. 'Greetings,' he said. They came to him and clasped his feet and worshipped him. Then Jesus said to them, 'Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There they will see me again.' While the women were on their way, some of the guards went to the city and reported to the chief priests everything that had happened. When the chief priests had met with the elders and devised a plan, they gave the soldiers a large sum of money, telling them, 'You are to say his disciples came during the night and stole away while we were asleep. If this report gets to the governor, we will satisfy him and keep you out of trouble.' So the soldiers took the money and did as they were instructed. And this story has been widely circulated among the Jews to this very day." Let's pray. Father, we come before you this morning of Resurrection Sunday. And Lord, we need your Holy Spirit. We seek your Holy Spirit. And Lord, we ask you would send it here now, to to open our hearts and our minds to your word. Lord, I pray for your anointing and your Holy Spirit to be upon me, that as I preach, Lord, I would preach in power. And the words I preach would only be the ones directed by you, that they would come in truth. That your people here would be drawn closer to you. That each person who hears your word would receive and know your truth. Lord, we come before you this morning to praise you and to thank you that first you were born, you came to this earth to live, and you did live that sinless life. And then you went to the cross and you died that sinless sacrifice for us. But Lord, through on Easter morning, you rose from the dead and you have given us salvation for all eternity. You have given us entrance to the kingdom of heaven. It is all there for each one who will receive you as Lord and Savior. So, Father, we come before you and we praise your name this morning. Jesus, Emmanuel. Amen. A lot going on here, but I had a couple questions that I saw here, a couple things going on. I saw two basic different responses, two groups. First, we have the unbelievers. We have unfortunately, the chief priests and the Pharisees, who are supposed to be the religious leaders of the day, who are denied the miracles of Christ, who have denied the power that they've seen and experienced themselves, yet they turn their back on it. And then we have the disciples who heard the word and they believed. But yet, the crucifixion was just too much for them. How many of you have seen the movie The Passion of the Christ? Okay, we showed it last night here. As David was mentioning at the table this morning, and as some of you may well be aware, is that Mel Gibson, when he directed that movie, he actually toned down the actual brutality of what occurred. Okay? This is toned down. Okay, think about that as you think of this movie. Okay, this is the best picture I've seen of it. Okay, and it's cut back. It's been softened for our sensibilities. It wasn't softened for the sensibility of the disciples. It certainly wasn't softened for Christ. They saw what happened. They knew what it was to be beaten the way he was, to be scourged. To have to carry that crossbeam to the hill, to be crucified. People don't come back from that. They did not expect him to die this way, even though he told them this is what's going to happen. They just couldn't accept that teaching. Just as the unbelievers were blind to the teaching of the truth because of their total disbelief, because of the disciples' belief that Jesus who he was, they were blind to receive the truth that this could happen to the Son of Man. No, it can't be. And then when it did happen, it was like all the air had been sucked out of a balloon, all the wind out of a sail. They were just devastated. Just had their feet knocked out from underneath them, and they're just laying there on the ground. The wind knocked out of them, just in pain, going, this is spiritually the place the disciples were. The unbelievers. They're remembering what Jesus had said. They remembered the prophecy that after 3 days He would rise. And they, being the deceivers that they are and the manipulators that they are, they thought, what would we do in such a situation? Well, of course, we would go get the body out of the tomb, steal it away, and say, I see nobody in the tomb, He's risen. See, while the disciples were totally out of commission because of the emotional breakdown, because of they could not believe that this is going to happen to the Son of Man. That He would suffer such a terrible death. That He would suffer in such a manner. That He would actually die. Remember, when Jesus talked about this, Peter one time tried to tell him, may it never be so. And Jesus' response was, get behind me, Satan. So when it did actually happen, even though they'd been told, well, they never really believed it. I'm going to pick on Ruth. Right now, I mean, John told Ruth that he was going to go out with Andy and buy him a truck, and she said, okay. And then Andy came home with a truck, and Ruth's going, well, what's the deal? What's with the truck? She didn't believe that they were actually going to go do it. So this is not a new concept. People do this all the time. We tell somebody, I'm going to go do this. Okay, fine. And then you come back and say, well, what did you do? Well, I did what I said I was going to do. Well, I didn't believe that you'd actually do it. This was what happened. This is Jesus. They didn't believe that He would do that. Because, quite frankly, they wouldn't do it. Laying down your life in such a manner. I mean, it's one thing to, you know, hey, throw myself under a grenade, boom, I'm dead. Pfft, not a lot of pain and suffering there. At least I'm gone right away. You know, step in front of a bullet, step in front of a speeding train or car to push somebody out of the way. You know, in the heat of the moment. But to intentionally, purposely walk into the city of Jerusalem for the purpose of being crucified. This is why Jesus came for the Passover in Jerusalem. This is why He entered on the Good Friday or on Palm Sunday a week ago. And then a week later, He rises from the dead. Because 3 days earlier, He'd been crucified. Arrested, beaten, tortured, beyond imagining. But we think of His torture in this day and age as, well, isn't anything compared to what they did to people back then, just with the as a regular means of making people pay. And sometimes just out of the viciousness of the human spirit. This is what we had. These are the two groups. The one seeing the truth and not being able to believe it because of the hardness of their heart. The other one seeing the truth and not being able to believe it just because of their belief in who Jesus was. It wasn't exactly in line. But then we have the resurrection. Now things change. The guards go back to the Pharisees and the chief priests and the elders and tell them what happened. And instead of them falling on their knees, asking forgiveness from God for their sins, an angel of the Lord came and opened up the grave and the guy's gone. This is the testimony of the Roman centurions. And you know what the Pharisees and the chief priests are doing? They're saying, okay, how can we cover this up? Then we have those who were disciples. And they go to the grave just in their sorrow, wanting to care for the body and give it the, you know, the final funeral preparations that they would normally have been able to do but couldn't do because of the shortness of the hour on the day he died. So they come to the tomb hoping that maybe they could get in to care for their loved one. And they see the angel of the Lord. And the angel tells them, go and tell the other disciples, tell the brothers of Jesus that he's risen as he said he would. Oh yeah, that's right. He said it, but we didn't actually believe that he would. It's real. And they leave filled with joy, running to do what it is they were instructed to be done, to go and tell the disciples, to go to Galilee. And then Jesus meets them on the way. See, as they've gone to do what the Lord has told them to do, Jesus meets them on the way. And they fall at his feet and they worship him. And he tells them to continue on their way and to finish the task. To go to the disciples. Now in Mark, we have a little piece here, another piece of information about the disciples that the angel gives out. Chapter 16, verse 6, it says, "Don't be alarmed," he said. "You're looking for Jesus the Nazarene who was crucified." This is the angel speaking. "He has risen. He is not here. See the place where they've laid him? But go, tell his disciples and Peter, he is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him, just as he told you." Mark mentions a little bit about Peter too. Why Peter? Why was that mentioned? They did a really good job of showing it in the movie, but it's really very plain in Scripture as we read. We see that Peter denied Jesus 3 times the night he was arrested. Now in Judean law, Hebrew law, for me to divorce my wife, I would turn to Donna and say, "I divorce you, I divorce you, I divorce you." Now, I say this here on my 29th wedding anniversary. And I am no way in shape or form divorcing my wife, for the record. I hope to have, as I post on Facebook, another 49 years or more. Okay? I'd like to get into triple digits. Yeah. Well, our Lord can come before then. I don't care which. But saying something 3 times like that had the force of law. This was, you know, if I just said, "I hate you," I didn't mean anything, but I said, "I hate you, I hate you, I hate you," that is a mortal insult. Now I've, you know, 3 times is really something. And here Peter denied him 3 times. And in his own mind, it's like, "I'm not worthy. I'm no longer his disciple." But Peter gets that special invitation. So Peter is included in his brothers. Still, see, Jesus knows the condition of the heart. And Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers." Peter's included under that, "my brothers," "to go to Galilee, and there they will see me again." Then I come to this question. Why Galilee? Why is Jesus telling them, "Okay, you're in Jerusalem right now, I'm in Jerusalem right now, but let's all go to Galilee"? Why? Because he's going to have them come back to Jerusalem here in a little bit. Does he just want to make sure they get their exercise? Why? Well, Galilee is the place where these men were called first time. When they first received their call, Jesus was walking in the area of Galilee. And he would come to the, as he came to one, he would say, "Come, follow me." Come to another, one or two, "Come, follow me." And he collected his disciples. That way, in the Galilean area. So he sent them back to the place of their original call. Another reason possible why they would go to Galilee. Well, this is where Jesus spent the most time teaching them. This is where they sat at his feet and learned. They went elsewhere to go do ministry. They did ministry in Galilee too, but they went to Samaria and other places to do ministry. But Galilee is where they sat at Jesus' feet, where they learned from him. This is the place where they became really close to Jesus. Okay? This is where the bonds were formed. This is where they came, where Jesus calls them brother. Okay? That was not the traditional form of relationship between a rabbi and a student. Brother. No. Me, rabbi, you are below me. You know, you are to treat me with respect. Master and bow and things of that nature. And he's saying, brother. There's an intimacy there in that relationship. A closeness. Even though he is the master. Even though he is the teacher, the rabbi. He is their Lord. This is where they became close. And that's why I think he sent them there. They go. He sends them there so that they can once more think about the lessons that Jesus taught. Now with the truth of the resurrection, those lessons are, hold it, he said this. And that's exactly what happened. You know, I thought he was talking about something else here. But as you go back and read it, now they're able to read the scripture, go over the teachings of Jesus with the ability to look back. You and I, we can read God's word and we can say, wow, look at that. We see exactly everything that happened. Up until that point, the disciples, everything was brand new every day. What Jesus was teaching, the resurrection hadn't happened yet. He's talking about something that's going to happen in the future, and they just weren't quite getting it. But now they've seen it. Now they've experienced it. And now he says, go to Galilee, that place where you first came to know me, that place where you sat at my feet and learned my lessons. Go there, at that place. Review the teachings that I gave you. And you'll come to know me more. So what is your response going to be to the empty tomb? The empty tomb of this Easter morning. We have two responses. We can either be like those who didn't believe because of the hardness of their heart, and no matter what was going to lay in front of them, they're just going to reject it. Or we can be like those who didn't believe it could happen, but then having seen it, took joy in what happened and clung to the feet of the Master and worshipped him. What is your response this morning?